thank you for being here. It's really an encouraging thing that at 8:45 at night, people are still in a room wanting to listen to something about business, or at least doing business God's way. So thank you for being here. I wanted to also introduce, along with my amazing, beautiful wife, and she is my better half. I mean, I think when people say that, I think they mean it. In this case, it's absolutely obvious. And my also, along with my wife, Elizabeth, my son, Kevin, is here. He just joined us today, and his beautiful wife, Nika. Kevin is our middle child, and we have an older daughter, Alexandria, and she's in Annapolis with her husband, Jonathan. He teaches physics at the Naval Academy, so he's a graduate there. And Ken, you know him very well, you and Faith, and he's a pretty amazing guy, and my daughter's a lot like me, which, unfortunately, she gets the best maybe of me and mostly of her beauty. But she's a lot like me. And then we have a younger daughter, Veronica, who is really a missionary. She got back from South Africa just this last week or the week before. She was there for 2 weeks ministering in South Africa in an amazing apostolic kind of church dynamic where she was ministering in prayer and worship for young married couples and families, and just has a heart for that. So that's who we are. I was worried at 8:45 or so doing this, and I'm gonna really be as efficient as possible because it's late, and I'm gonna hit tops of trees, and there's a lot of good information that you can review in the syllabus, but I'm gonna hit tops of trees, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will minister things deeper than I'm gonna cover, because I just think attention span is limited at this time, and hopefully God will engage us in a way that will bring something to your heart and mind that will minister to this activation idea, to this idea of taking something from our time and taking it back into your world and your calling and the context of your ministry and your life and business, and really elevate it and put it on a pedestal to bring something of importance in terms of transformation to the people that you work with every day or every week. So that's really where my heart is. You know, I thought it was really funny when Terrell talked about this guy looking at his wife. I mean, that was really a good, that's a hard opening to top, right? But he just killed me with that. But I want to turn your attention to the other kiosk here, a little less subtle. Bridging the gap between spiritual and between spiritual truth and practical implementation. That's really what this session is about. How do we bridge that gap? How do we take sort of transcendent ideas, transcendent truths? These are the four basic business skills. And when we talk about four basic business skills, we really are talking about foundational principles. And this is part of the Go Business School. And as Dennis has pointed out so many times, without a kind of a foundational basis for understanding the nature of doing business God's way, the nature of transcendent truth, and how it's applied in a practical sense where it adds tremendous value in the work that we do on a regular basis, you really can't go beyond that place where your gifting is originally manifest, meaning this is where we build a business that's built to last. That's a business that God will honor and God will prosper. So these four principles are indispensable. They are transcendent truths, and we'll hopefully be able to talk about them in a way that is easy for you to apply in your life and in your work. A lot has been talked about with respect to this idea of what's happening in our world today. It's almost as if it's permanent whitewater. Things are churning everywhere in every capacity, in every way you can imagine. We see it on the news nightly, 24 hours. We hear about it when we read Wall Street, when we read The Economist. I mean, it's really a crazy time, a crazy business cycle, not just locally, but across the globe. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
And so one of the ways I describe this craziness is this idea, and by the way, these slides should be available at some point through Catherine, but you know, you can take some notes around this, but you'll be able to, I'm sure, get these. But here are some core assumptions about the demand of 21st century work. One is that the speed, complexity, and volume of work at times appears to be beyond our current capacity, given our present structure. And if you're writing or underlining anything, please notate this notion of capacity, which we'll touch upon, and our present structure. That means that if our capacity to manage the difficulty, the chaos, the complexity is insufficient for the time and the place that we're living in, it logically portends that we have to revisit the structure of whatever it is we are trying to build. Does that make sense? So that's a dynamic we're facing. Speed, everything happens super fast. Communications and information are instantaneous. That's amazing if you think about it, what's transpired in the past 20 years in terms of telecommunications and how information is at our fingertips that, you know, maybe the night before, the hour before, was across the other side of the world. It's just amazing. Now, I love that aspect of the information age, but there are problems associated with it. Because there are people and business leaders who think that just because information is at our fingertips and we can now do analytics and things related to how we sort of break down maximizing resources, human capital, dollars, and so on, that suddenly that makes us more capable. I question that. It makes us more pressured, more stressed out, demands that are beyond our capabilities. Even as God has given us capabilities. So one of the things we have to begin to look at is really what will it take to manage, in terms of God's economy, God's way, God's temperament, God's timing, the demands that he puts on us to bring transformation into the earth by the vehicles of our business and our life ministries. That makes sense? So I'm more concerned with how God, who created all of this and created us to be able to steward these resources and steward our businesses and be an example of transforming, you know, powerfully by his grace, the lives of individuals and businesses or institutions, that it happens his way in terms of his timing. And we build structures of organizations that are the kind that reflect what he has designed in the architecture of heaven. I believe exactly what Terrell said about patterns. God has a pattern for everything. I'm so glad he talked about that. It's so easy to forget that, to move beyond, hey, God, I got this. I can build this without you. Anything built to last, with all due respect to Jim Collins' great book, and it's a great book, comes from God. If it happens to manifest in some other context, it's on loan from God. Okay? Complexity. There are multiple layers of work, communication channels, information sources, and participation networks, which oftentimes overlap. That's called the lack of integration. It's like being in a you know, four-way stop where nobody's obeying the stop sign. Right? It's just overwhelming. Right? So how do we manage all this? And volume, more to do with fewer people, mountains of implications and levels to everything you have to do and handle. I understand the whole philosophy, economically speaking, behind publicly traded companies. I work for one. I get it. You need investors to invest and to be able to, you know, quantify, you know, how to grow an organization, establish its value in the marketplace in a way that other investors would be interested in participating in, so that you can get capital and be able to expand the business. I get that totally. But I think so often there is this difficulty of balancing in terms of equilibrium the demands of the market with what the originators, the entrepreneurs, the C-suite folk, and the people that work in the field of the work actually need to have happen. It's a difficult thing to always reconcile. Does that make sense? This is a challenge. It's a challenge before all of us, whatever size your business might be. So are any of these assumptions currently true for you and your business? Let's talk about that for a minute. Again, fundamentals, the life cycle of a business, right? When a business starts, it might be a small business, might be a ministry, might be a home business, might be something that grows into giving startup seed money from angels and venture capitalists, something that becomes a $100 billion enterprise, globally speaking. But all businesses start with a seed, right? Seed, time, harvest. All businesses start with an idea, a novel molecule for pharmaceutical companies or technology industry. And the owner, the entrepreneur, the originator, the creator has an idea and he puts everything into the idea. Or she puts everything into the idea. It's their baby. Right? Whenever you work with business owners, and I work with lots of them, you know, it's a very fragile communication process, right? Because you're talking to them about their baby, right? What comes from their heart, their mind. And you have to be very respectful because what you're trying to transact here is the currency of trust, which is ultimately the most powerful currency in business, trust. All business, as one writer said, is transacted by the speed of trust and the depth of that trust. So then after a while, there's what we call this grassroots growth, okay? And this is early success. Some of it's luck. Some of it has to do with smart business applications. Requires a core of high-performing employees, what we call best and brightest. One author called super keepers, really top-line people. You have to have them. 20% of the core of your business, no matter what the size of your business, should be these best and brightest, core committed people. You really can't build without that strong foundation of people. We're in an information age world, an artificial intelligence world, but guess what? You will never supplant the power of people. I don't care what anybody says. People talk about AI, talk about double down on people. Why? Because that's what our God does. Right. Yeah. AI is a tool. Technology is a tool. But God, but people are what God put on the earth to steward and to manifest his power, his grace, his kingship, his priestly character. So then in life, and this happens in all aspects of life, and it was talked about by several of the people sharing so far in the past 2 days. You have these inflection points. Have you heard of that phrase before, inflection points? Inflection points are those things that happen that for the most part are unexpected. You didn't anticipate them. Or if they were there on the radar screen or the dashboard of your business day or life, you didn't notice it because you were entrenched in the speed, the volume, and the complexity of the demand of work. Am I the only one that that's happened to before, inflection points? Those surprising things. Could be one of your favorite employees announcing that they're resigning after 10 years. Could be, you know, as in the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, if you've seen that movie, the uncle going and losing the deposit at the savings and loan. Right? Yeah. Yeah. It could be as a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, a brother in Christ who runs a small business that has almost $100 million in gross revenue. On a regular basis, he tells the story of when, at the height of their success in the early 2000s, he fainted watching his son play a baseball game, and they took him to the hospital, and they said, "You have stage 4 testicular cancer, Mr. Business Owner Person." Now that's an inflection point. Well, the wonderful end of that story is that God miraculously healed him. He's alive today and prospering as a wonderful man with a wonderful family. His son now runs most of the business. He still does selling. And during that inflection point season, 2 or 3 men and women stepped up in management for him and managed the company while he was in 2 years of chemo and recovery. Inflection points. You never know when they're going to transpire, but what happens? Are you ready? Are you prepared? That's a lot of the theme that we're hearing in the past day or so. So that's why we need the wisdom of God in terms of leadership and management initiatives based on the principles we're going to talk about shortly to provide insight, guidance, and a strategic business management process. There's that word again that Terrell was talking about that increases the probability that the company will sustain its focus and competitive edge. You have to have insight. We need wisdom. We need mentors. We need guidance. We need revelation from outside of our world, if you will, our domain. And that's a lot of what is available here and through Go Strategic Learning Programs, through the school, this school and others. I mean, I could never pay back Dennis Peacock and their family for all the money and resource and opportunity I've received from what I've learned here. This is a drop in the bucket of what I could do for them. It's really nothing, if I'm honest about it. Because what's being taught here in the schools is transcendent. It's powerful. There's nothing like it. You can't purchase this, if you will, on the open market. Okay? And then finally, ultimately, the goal is renewal of your business. The goal is to re-lever it, set it up for success and growth on an ongoing basis, no matter what happens up or down in the market. So your dependency is not what's happening up or down in the market, or at least it shouldn't be. Our dependency should always be on who? God, Christ, the author of all things good, the originator of prosperity, right? And that's why, as Terrell pointed out, you know, it's so important to have that intimate, strong, vibrant, developing, deepening relationship with Jesus on a personal basis. Because that's the most important board meeting you can ever have. Right? That's where we're dependent, not on the market, not on ups and downs, not on swings that Wall Street talks about, not on prediction of futurists, but on what God is doing and what he's revealing in the earth through his sons and daughters. Okay? So these are my biases. This is what we presuppose about this teaching. In life, we've got to approach business, if we're doing it God's way, strategically. You hear that all the time. That's one of the best things I ever heard Dennis say early on when I met him in the early 90s was that God builds relationally, as we'll talk about, but he also works strategically in the earth. His plans, his processes, his proactive approach is strategic. God is a strategic builder, period. Okay? So in life, in the strategic business cycles that we experience, you see the volume chart there, you see time, and in what I call sort of station one, everything seems to be working. You're building, you're growing. And in station two, you're starting to prosper. But as time goes on, depending upon how we're going about managing our business and leading people, we can end up in these inflection points. And the one way to look at this is to see it almost as if it's an airplane that's flying. It's got to maintain speed and altitude and trajectory. And if it doesn't, it will begin to stall. You hit these stall points in business. Anybody ever experienced a stall point in business? Yeah. Some of those things have to do with external things we can't control. Other of those things have to do, I think, in most cases, with what we're not doing in alignment with God's wishes, will, ways, principles, and practices for our business. Let's be honest about that. As I look back on a business that I used to run, that at the very end, there were some external factors like 9/11 that hit it hard. I had to really, really rethink, as we'll talk about in a moment, the extent to which I did not do some internal business preparation work for the season that was coming that I should have anticipated. I learned a lot from that experience, right? So how do we deal with these inflection points? This is where the wisdom of God comes in, and this is a framework, a setup for the next part, which we'll spend most of our remaining time on. How do we re-lever the business in time? How do we hear from God the thing we need to hear, the revelation, knowledge of how to sort of reconform or reconstitute the business in a way that will increase the probability that it will survive that inflection point, grow beyond it, and be able to, if you will, rise into a level of trajectory that will allow it to again, fly straight, fly right? That's really the question we're going to answer here in our remaining time. So best practices for relevering the business. Key concept on designing a business that is built to last. God builds relationally, conceptually, and executionally. These are three very key concepts. And some of you who have been in the school or who are interested in the school, these concepts are some of the first things you'll learn about, or these principles, I should say. How many of us do business with people that we don't trust? How many of us do business with people that we don't know? Okay? If we are, that's a problem. That's a problem because God's a relational God. So why in the world we do business with people that we don't have a relationship with, that we don't know, that we don't have an idea about? I loved what Catherine KJ was saying earlier about Facebook and Instagram and how that does not really cultivate a genuine, dynamic, meaningful, authentic human relationship. It's very true. It's a concern I have for millennials. It's a concern I have for our millennial children. That's one of the things that we focused on a lot in our relationship with our children as we raise them, is to be social, to be interactive, to look face to face with people, to find out who they are, not on Facebook or Instagram necessarily. Those are adjuncts. Those are nice distance, you know, pen pal, technology pen pal types of relationships, but they are not really discoverable. I cannot know you on Facebook. I can't really find out who you are on the internet. I can only know you, George, by this, because that's the way God designed us. That's the way it's supposed to be, right? So these relational skills are so important, and they really should be a part of any consideration we have with respect to our careers, our ministry, our business decisions, because we build together. We are not islands. We are not isolated. We build together. One of my favorite Dennis phrases is, Christianity is a team sport. I need you. You need me. The best teams I've ever been on in sports, and my son and I talk about a lot about this because we both played basketball in college, is this idea that people were talented, but you'd never know that because they were egoless. Basketball is a very interesting sport to understand team dynamics because there's one ball, one goal, and five people. Who gets the shot? Who gets the ball first? Who passes? Who dribbles? You have to share the basketball. The best team in the world currently is a Bay Area team, the Golden State Warriors, because they pass the ball and they find open people and they share it better than anybody else on the planet. And these are multimillionaires. And they are the best talented people at their craft on the planet, yet they are succeeding as a team. If we're going to be successful in business, we have to succeed as members of a team, an egoless group of people who take their talents and their gifts and they deploy them in a way that makes the entire group successful. Capacity utilization, or CAPU, the work dynamic where one is pressed to function in a way that optimizes their gift. If you're leading a team, if you're managing people, one of the things you have to look at is their capacity. How do they deal with pressure? How do they deal with family dynamics outside the workplace? How disciplined are they? How emotionally stable or intelligent are they? How, as you were talking about this morning, about the importance of being healed, and taking advantage of God's resources, and not necessarily miraculous overnight, but if it's counseling service, whatever it might be, anger management. One of the things my wife and I talk a lot about, which disappoints us about the body at large currently, at least in the West, is how discipleship is expected to happen without the healing component of Hurts of Life series. Or cleansing streams, another resource. If you're honest with yourself, You came into the world, went through whatever life experience you went through, and you came out with certain measure of dysfunctionality. Am I the only one that can honestly say that? I've been married 32 years. That means God gave this woman the gift of patience. Because otherwise, you know. Right? So we need to get healed, and we need to help people get healed if they're going to be fully functional, be able to optimize and maximize their capabilities, to utilize their capacity. Okay? The major conceptual skill consists of the development of Christian worldview grounded in timeless economic principles, the deepening in your ability to understand the prophetic issues of the day, culturally speaking, and to make economic decisions accordingly. When I got saved 38 years ago, as a very young man, because I was, you know, failing in every aspect of life, even though I was educated, if you will, but, you know, there are educated fools. One of the things I told God, and I've tried to keep this over the years with his strength and help, is I don't want anything to do with the humanism of this world. It has not helped me at all. If anything, God, I need to understand the entire aspect of the world from your eyes, from Jesus' point of view, from a biblical standpoint, and then I'll filter all that stuff on the back end. The greatest book ever passed down is the Word of God. There will never be a better book on this side of heaven. And there are people make a gazillion dollars writing books that are useful and helpful, I admit. But you know, God has never gotten a single royalty from any of those books, mostly from stolen ideas, by the way. I find that interesting. Okay? We're going to speed up a little bit. Another key concept on designing business is that if they're built to last, they're transcendent. If they're built to last, they have eternal qualities. If they're built to last, they only prosper if God's in the center of them. If Christ's teachings are being modeled, lived out by the leaders and the managers of that business, ultimately. This concept of executional skills talks about how we apply what we're learning biblically in terms of leadership and management. And really, it comes down to all these ideas here on this slide come down to this simple idea of modeling the way of Christ. Again, with Brother Terrell, who is as powerful a cup of coffee for a 9 o'clock workshop as you could ever imagine, what he was talking about in terms of the manifestation of the incarnation of Christ in us, that is about as significant a message as you'll ever hear. When we model the way of the Lord, as Doug Stringer said, when we show up and we're being the gospel, we're being Christ, it's compelling, it's irresistible. When the people that showed up in my life or my wife's life when we were lost in our younger years had the Holy Spirit on them and showed up as Jesus, it was absolutely compelling. I couldn't resist it if I wanted to. That's modeling the way of the Lord. Now, do we have to be, you know, verbose and loud or any of those other things? No, just be Christ to people. Lead with love. It's irresistible, right? I've got people right now under my employment who don't know God, and they are hurting really badly, and we're having coaching sessions. They have a lot to do with me just trying to discover who they are, seeking to understand who they are, being willing to pray for them, even with them. I've never had a person tell me when I say, hey, can I pray for you? Because my wife and I pray, when the church wants to pray for you, I'm going to be praying for your family and your husband this weekend. I've never had a single person in 38 years say, nah, that's why I'm good. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I've just never happened to me. As far as I'm concerned, if any of you want to pray for me anytime, any day, any place, please, I need all the prayer I can get. Right? The four basic business skills that we need to build our ministries and business God's way begin here. We must correctly discern the themes and seasons of your business so that you can apply your energy according to business priorities and make wise decisions even during stressful times. It's really important to ask God, you know, what's happening in my business right now? You know, is it me? Is it, have I hired the wrong people? Have I overextended our budget in terms of investing in capital that I was too spontaneous or impulsive around? Have I not been paying attention to things happening day to day in my office because I've been out selling? God, show me where my business priorities should be. And God will show you where your business priorities should be. Or he'll bring somebody into your life who will show you where your business priorities should be. There's some scripture here with respect to that. I'm not going to go over it right now, but you can definitely look up these scriptures just for the sake of time. Seasonal patterns. Again, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. This is an agricultural worldview, and of course, God created the world from the standpoint of an agricultural worldview. So how do you translate this into an information age world? Right? Well, let me just say very quickly, the winter time of any business is a time of rest. It's a time where you've built up, you know, a very good business revenue stream. You've got great clients, what I call clients from heaven versus clients from hell, and I think you know what that the difference between those two are. And you've got just continuity and consistency in your business. So it's a time to take a step back and look at what kinds of systems, whether it's technology or otherwise, you need to rebuild, update, upgrade, right, to stay ahead of the curve of business. Revisit your strategic plan for the future. In the past, we would do, and I started off my career in the banking business, we'd do 7 to 10 year plans. Boy, is that out the window now, right? Even 3 to 5 year plans almost seem like a stretch. But one way to look at it is what target is God in terms of developing people, developing your business, expanding your market? What targets is God setting forth for you that he's leading you toward? Where should your face be set towards? Is it, you know, in terms of growth? Because God's about growth. God's about prosperity. Don't think he's not. It's not about that. It's about what you do with what he gives you. Remember the parable of the talents? What did the men do with what God gave them? Because he holds us responsible for what he gives us in terms of time, talent, energy, resources, money, right? So it may be a time to take a step back and say, well, God, you want to grow my business 2x? Help me understand what has to happen for to grow 2x or 3x or 4x. That makes sense. Okay, springtime. And that's building relationships. Preparing the soil is all about building relationships. The most important thing any of us can do in business is continue to build relationships and network. Everywhere you go is an opportunity to, if you will, connect with someone who may directly or indirectly positively influence your business or give you insight about your business. If you happen to be a shy, more reserved person, that's great, but you should not go into sales. Right? There's another rule that God has for you. Summertime is caring for your crops. It's nurturing the people that work for you, nurturing client relationships that are going to renew over the course of, a year or 18-month contract. And it's always looking a little bit ahead into the fog and seeing what might be coming. This is a proactive process. This is about being very aware and alert about the market around you, about the people that are working for you, and about the referral partners that are available to help you to build your business, to help you to invest in your business in some way, shape, or form. And then harvest, obviously, is bringing in the business, bringing in, you know, the revenue, the opportunities, and so on. But this is not about seeking after revenue. This is about seeking after relationships, building lives, helping companies around you to prosper. This is about nurturing the people that work for you, discipling them, caring for them, spending part of yourself and your life with and for them. Following Jesus is a very other-directed excursion. It's not about me. It's not about self. We live in the most narcissistic culture in the history of the West. Would you agree with that? Because we focused on self. Self-help. I got to get mine. Jesus was never about him. He was always about the Father. What's the Father doing? Where the Father works, I want to work. What's the Father's will? What's happening with the Father? What's happening with the disciples? What's happening with the Pharisees who hate my guts? He was always other-directed, never self-directed. So if we're supposed to model the way of Christ, we cannot be self-directed. When you start to think me, myself, and I, you're living in a very small world. God is a God of community, of family, of relationships. We grow by caring for what? People and things. We steward those things. We grow by them. And God will show us as much about ourselves as we ever need to know by that dynamic, by that engagement. Sabbatical. I'll just say very quickly, however you incorporate sabbatical into your business life in some form or fashion, including vacation time for employees, you really, really need to think about making sure you invest in that. People need a break. People need time away. People need to recharge their batteries. Any of these books that talk about working people to a certain level and pushing them beyond a certain point, that isn't a biblical idea of how we manage relationships and lead people. One of the things you talk about in my company and my team, because I run a consulting team in the Bay Area of about 10 people, is, hey, if you got to go take care of your daughter, your son, go to a volleyball game, your husband's not feeling well, stay home. Telecommute. Or just put your out-of-office message in your email. You got to get well. You got to get better. You got to handle your business. That's way more important than this. I have to tell people sometimes your family, your marriage is way more important than this company. It's a multi-billion dollar company, but, you're more important and they're more important than this. Go home. Go home. Go home. Because we're not here to use people, to leverage them for our prosperity financially, for revenue's sake, for revenue gain. We're not here to turn people into automatons. I actually hate the term human capital. I think it's a very dehumanizing term. People are not human capital. People are human beings created by God in the majesty of his brilliant understanding of what people needed to be and do on the earth for his glory, for his purposes. And we should never forget that, no matter what season of business that we're in. These are some scriptures you can read. Again, I'm very conscious of time. Let me just say on that bottom bullet point where it talks about liability and personal responsibility, let me just, as a word to the wise, if you're running a business or you're working with people who run a business, risk and safety management is a really, really important aspect of your business. Injuries are very, very costly on a lot of levels. And in our company, we provide workers' comp insurance for our clients. And we also provide advice and consultation and training to make sure that they are taking care of their employees and that they minimize the probability of injuries in various jobs. Our motto is, we want them to go home to their families in exactly the same condition that they walked into your office that morning. And I tell our business owners, you give that kind of message to your staff, very few of them are ever going to leave you if you take care of them in that manner and in every other way they need to be taken care of and served. Very few of them. We must know the gifts and skills God has given to us and to those with whom we work and understand what kind of training and complementary skills are required to function around us, spheres and limits. I've worked with companies, major corporations, major universities, and I've had C-suite people tell me, I don't want to spend money on staff. They need to find their own training, education, and so on. Why should I spend money on them, Ron? They're going to leave me at some point anyway. Imagine, a husband telling somebody about his, why should I invest in my wife? She's going to leave me someday anyway. And I'm not comparing business partnerships and employees with a marriage, but what I am saying is the correlation is people know when you care about them. People know and experience when you're investing in them relationally, emotionally, financially. People know it. People appreciate that. And it's becoming more and more uncommon in our current world where people are human capital. And billionaires are saying, I'm going to choose AI over this group of potential employees. It's nihilism. That's a completely divorced notion of God and the Creator in terms of the dynamic of people and work. It's a scary time in that regard, but that's why we're here. That's why the remnant exists. That's why you're here, to be the contra-example to that. People, as I pointed out, are the ultimate resources. Therefore, developing who they are is the ultimate service to God. This is as important a statement in this teaching as any that you've heard so far, in my view. We must acquire and use the means of discovering, developing, and releasing the gifts of those with whom we work, beginning with our natural families. Our first church, my first church, is my family. There's a scripture somewhere that says where two or more gather together. So I spent a lot of time gathering together with these people. That's my first church. It's important that larger churches respect that idea. Pastors' leadership should respect that idea because it's a boundary idea. It's a God-breathed idea. You want to invite families into the larger community. You don't want to invade that family and tell them what they should be and do. There's not a biblical precedent for that. So when you have people that you're working with in business, if you treat them like family, they will act like family. If you treat them like automatons or cyborgs, they will act like automatons or cyborgs. We must build organizations that recognize people's natural borders. This is further developed in the transformation series. We've got just a few minutes and we're done here. We must cultivate the art of strategic living and train others to do likewise. I love this little slide. God lives and thinks strategically, so we must also do the same. And this is a master equations resource development. What is currently in the context of what you need and what you need to do in terms of developing your employees. And then as you forecast and you kind of, you know, launch out a bit, what are you going to need to be prepared for in terms of expanding your employment, your employee resource base? Back to this idea, how do we manage the strategic business cycle? How do we keep the business growing, renewing, stable, and avoid inflection points? That's a question that I recommend you all think hard about. And this is a little template that we use when we do organizational management work for our clients. And we ask them to look at themselves as business owners, their ministries, their business as it were. What is your product? Define what your fruit is. What is it ultimately, right? Who are the people that God has called into your sphere of influence to minister, disciple, grow, develop, mature? What kind of culture, principles, and values have you established in your organization that need to be maybe rooted up and changed or replaced with transcendent principles, transcendent truths, things you'll learn a lot about through the Go Strategic Schools? How about your pipeline of business and relationships and sales? What does that look like? All right, if your pipeline is anemic, that's a bad sign. What about systems and business processes? Are you up to date on those things? And finally, finance and cash flow. Are you managing your business in terms of kingdom economics? Are you managing your business in terms of Keynesian economics? Okay. So some of the factors that come into play in the strategic work process: resources, division of labor, very important concept, who does what and where. The idea of timing, what's it time for? What's it time for in your business? What season are you in? Is it time to hire people? Is it time to promote people? Is it time to invest more in them? Is it time to build your marketplace relationships with people that can help to grow your company? What's most important? What are your priorities? Are you wasting time doing things you shouldn't be doing, maybe not even in your sphere of gifting and ability? Things you should dispossess, things you should hand off to other people? What about the level of risk that you're taking, one way or another? What are your goals or expected outcomes? You should always have goals. And then whatever you're deciding to do, what is the impact to your end users? This is a slide, if you will, that I keep on my desk in a laminated form. I'm always regularly looking at this and reflecting in the context of my prayer life, my studies, business community, resources and feedback, things, Ken, that you and Faith are doing, I'm sure, on a regular basis. This really helps me to kind of stay alert and stay focused. Finally, we must know how to hear God in terms of whom to trust and whom not to trust. Holiness and discernment, wisdom. Listening is the most important communication skill. This just in. Breaking news. We must know how to hear God through anyone. God can speak through anyone. I had a manager once at a large apparel company. If I mention the name, you'd know them, back in the 90s. And I was being just a bad employee. I had a big ego, thought I knew everything. I was the smartest guy in the room. I know none of you have ever had that experience. And my boss, basically in front of everybody, kind of said, Ron, you're not really engaged with the project. You're kind of trying to run it. And you've got smart people who want to help you, but you want to do it on your own. I just let that go right over my head. I continued to complain about a variety of things that weren't working for me. Little old self-centered me. And she, in her wisdom, finally said to me, my boss, well, great, Ron, that's interesting, some of the things you're pointing out. I can see some of the validity of some of the things you're pointing out. So what is your idea or ideas for solving these problems? I wanted to crawl under the rug. When the meeting was over, I ran to my office, closed the door, and I said, God, how could you allow this pagan woman to speak to me in this manner? And he said, Ron, do you remember the story of Balaam's donkey? That was me talking to you. And I wept. I cried. I spent my whole lunch hour crying and repenting. And I went back out there into her office and I apologized. I was going to fix this thing. It was never going to happen again. And before you knew it, everybody loved me on the project team. I wonder how that happened. We must know how and when to be close to the spirit of another. There are crazy people in the world. This just in, crazy people in the world. If people are talking out of the wrong side of their body, don't listen to them. It might sound good or interesting. No, run. Don't listen to them. That's where the Holy Spirit gives you discernment. Love is given. This is really important. That's why I put it in bold. Love is given. Trust is earned, counsel is heard, but only God is obeyed. I had to wake up to realize God was speaking through Balaam's donkey and obey him through her, and I'm a better person for it. I'm done. 45 minutes or so, hopefully.
Thank you.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.